So what if I told you that doing exactly what those commercials tell you to do, grabbing a bottle of that bright blue spray, tearing off a fresh paper towel,
Of the classic weekend routine.
right, and then heading out to wash your windows on this beautiful sunny Saturday morning? What if I told you that is scientifically guaranteed to make your windows dirtier?
It really is the ultimate betrayal of household maintenance. I mean, you dedicate your weekend to a chore, you follow the marketing playbook to the letter,
And
and
then the sun hits it.
exactly. The moment that afternoon sun hits the glass, you are staring at this cloudy, smeared canvas that somehow looks significantly worse than the winter grime you were trying to remove.
It's so frustrating. And that specific frustration is exactly why I'm thrilled to welcome you, the listener, to today's deep dive. We are taking on the windows.
About time.
Yeah. Our source material today is a really practical, honestly revelatory professional cleaning guide from Mrs. CleanMall. It's aimed heavily at homeowners tackling their spring cleaning.
Specifically, those of us navigating the rather unique environmental and infrastructure factors in the Ontario and Greater Toronto area.
Yes, the GTA has its own special brand of grime. And our mission today is to debunk these deeply ingrained myths of window washing. We're going to examine the science of why your tools are failing, throw away the useless items we've all been tricked into buying,
And
and.
equip you with the precise chemistry needed to beat window grime.
Right, so you never have to wash the same pane of glass twice.
That is the dream.
To get there, though, we have to look at the environment. Because as we hit May here in Ontario, the gray winter is finally over. People are eager to reinstall their screens, and they can suddenly see all that accumulated dust from months of indoor condensation.
Which is gross.
It is. But that sheer enthusiasm leads to the single biggest mistake you can make.
Yeah, the foundational premise of this entire guide is that streak-free glass is almost always a technique problem. It is not a product problem.
Which is hard to hear. We always want to blame the spray.
We do. But the most common technique failure is what the guide calls the sunlight trap. It lays this out as a massive, non-negotiable rule. You should never, ever clean your windows in direct sunlight or on a hot day.
I have absolutely fallen into this trap. I mean, a hot, sunny Saturday in spring feels like the mandated time to do yard work and wash the house.
Of course it does. You want to see the sun shining through the glass.
Yeah, exactly.
But physics strongly disagrees with that impulse. When you apply a liquid cleaning solution to a sheet of glass that has been baking in direct sunlight, the latent heat of that glass causes the liquid to flash evaporate.
Like almost instantly.
Yes, it dries before you even have a chance to pick up your cloth or your squeegee. And when that water vaporizes into the air, it leaves everything else behind.
The soap, the dirt.
The dissolved minerals from your water, all the grime that the liquid had just managed to loosen, you are instantly baking those streaks right onto the surface.
It's basically like trying to mop your kitchen floor while you have your heated flooring turned up to the absolute maximum setting.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Right. You aren't actually removing the dirt from the floor at that point. You are just instantly cooking a layer of dirty, soapy water onto the tile.
To take that floor analogy even further, you are actively creating a stronger bond between the dirt and the surface than existed before you even started.
That is wild.
So to avoid this entirely, you must clean your windows on an overcast day. The ambient temperature is lower, and the cloud cover prevents the glass from turning into a frying pan.
But what if you absolutely have to clean on a sunny day, like it's your only day off?
Then you have to systematically chase the shade. You start on the shaded western side of the house in the morning, and you literally follow the shadows as the sun moves.
Realizing this completely shifts the blame, you know? Homeowners stare at a streaky window and immediately assume they bought the wrong spray.
Yep, they run right back to the store for the so-called streak-free guarantee formula, or like the industrial strength foam.
When their original product was probably perfectly fine, they just picked a time of day when no chemical on earth could succeed.
It takes the power away from the marketing departments of major cleaning brands and puts it back into your understanding of the environment.
So true. But okay, if we are no longer relying on rapid evaporation chemicals because we are waiting for a cloudy day anyway, we have to completely rethink what we are actually putting on the glass.
Exactly.
And I want to defend my habits for just a second here. I have used the blue spray and paper towels my entire adult life.
A lot of people have.
I spray it on, I wipe it around, the liquid vanishes in seconds, and I'm done. Why would I spend time mixing up custom solutions in a bucket when the commercial sprays are designed to be fast?
Because you are conflating fast drying with effective cleaning. Heavily marketed chemical glass cleaners are formulated with lots of alcohols and ammonia.
To make them dry fast.
Right. Their entire chemical purpose is to evaporate rapidly, so they leave fewer streaks on very lightly soiled surfaces. Think of a bathroom mirror that just has a bit of toothpaste splatter or some steam residue.
Okay, that makes sense.
But exterior windows are not lightly soiled. They are covered in a baked-on matrix of environmental grime. Fast evaporation is the exact opposite of what you need outdoors.
Because if it evaporates in 3 seconds, it doesn't have time to actually detach the bird droppings from the glass?
Precisely. You want a solution that stays wet long enough to encapsulate and lift heavy dirt. That is why the guide recommends a chemical solution that is shockingly simple.
I couldn't believe this part.
Warm water with just a few drops of standard liquid dish soap.
Just dish soap, the same stuff I use on my dinner plates.
The underlying chemistry is identical. Dish soap is packed with surfactants. Surfactant molecules are fascinating. They have a hydrophilic or water-loving head and a hydrophobic or water-hating tail.
Right. I remember this from high school chemistry.
Yeah. So when you apply soapy water to a window, the hydrophobic tails desperately try to get away from the water. So they burrow into the greasy exhaust film and the oily dirt on your glass.
While the heads stay attached to the water.
Exactly. Then when you wipe the glass, the water is pulled away and it physically rips the dirt off the window with it.
The guide does include a massive warning about this, though. You have to use a shockingly small amount of soap.
A few drops per bucket is all you need. If you use too much, you create excessive suds.
And nobody wants a bubble bath on their windows?
No, because those bubbles are just trapped air and excess surfactant. When the water eventually dries, that excess soap has nowhere to go. It remains on the glass as a hazy, sticky film.
Which acts like a magnet for fresh dust the very next day.
Exactly. You just want enough surfactant to break the surface tension, nothing more.
Now, the guide also mentions a 50-50 mix of white vinegar and distilled water as a very effective alternative. But vinegar comes with some architectural risks, doesn't it?
It does. Vinegar is an acetic acid. Huh. It cuts through grease brilliantly, but acid and aluminum do not play nicely together over the long term.
Oh, because of the window frames.
Right. If your home has raw or thinly anodized aluminum window frames, exposing them to a highly acidic runoff repeatedly can cause oxidation and pitting.
That sounds expensive to fix.
It is. If you use vinegar, you must be meticulous about rinsing the frames immediately. Dish soap, on the other hand, is pH neutral, which makes it structurally safer for whatever materials surround your glass.
Okay, so we've established that the blue spray is formulated for the wrong environment. Let's look at the physical tools, because the guide's breakdown of what we wipe the glass with is basically a ruthless tier list.
It takes no prisoners.
It really doesn't. I mentioned paper towels earlier, and the guide essentially bans them outright.
They are highly discouraged for a very mechanical reason. Paper towels are essentially loosely pressed mats of wood pulp and paper fibers.
Right.
They are manufactured specifically to be highly absorbent and to break apart easily so they don't clog plumbing or sit in landfills forever.
So they're designed to disintegrate.
Exactly. When you rub a wet paper towel aggressively against microscopic imperfections in glass, those wood fibers shred. You are literally shedding a layer of fine white lint and debris onto the window as you try to clean it.
So throw the paper towels into the sink and leave them for spilling coffee. If paper is out, what is at the top of the tier list?
The undisputed professional standard is the squeegee.
The classic.
It is excellent for both large interior and exterior panes, and the streak risk is incredibly low if your technique is sound.
See, using a squeegee feels like it should be intuitive, but the guide insists on wiping the rubber blade of the squeegee with a completely dry cloth after every single stroke.
Yes.
You can't just swipe back and forth like a car or windshield wiper.
No, and you have to think about the hydrodynamics of a squeegee. It acts like a snowplow, pushing a continuous wave of dirty water ahead of a sharp rubber edge. If you lift the squeegee at the end of a stroke, a bead of that dirty water remains clinging to the rubber blade. If you place that wet blade back onto a clean section of glass for your next stroke, you are instantly depositing a line of muddy water.
Oh, those vertical lines you always see.
Exactly. By wiping the blade dry after every single pass, you ensure that only clean, dry rubber is making contact with the leading edge of the water wave.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Next on the tier list is the microfiber cloth, which the guide says is excellent for detailing and buffing out the edges where a squeegee can't quite reach.
But again, there is a strict rule here. You must use two separate cloths.
Because one gets wet.
Right. Microfiber is woven with millions of tiny synthetic fibers that act like microscopic hooks, trapping dirt and moisture far more effectively than flat cotton. But once a microfiber cloth is damped with cleaning solution, its capacity to trap additional moisture drops to zero. It's completely saturated. So you apply your dish soap solution with a sponge or a damp cloth, but you must buff the glass dry with a completely separate bone-dry microfiber cloth.
Now, before we move on to execution, the guide brings up the old newspaper trick. I always assumed using newspaper to wash windows was just, you know, an old wives' tale born out of not having paper towels in the 1950s. But the guide confirms it actually works quite well.
It does, and it's entirely based on the chemistry of the ink. Newspaper is printed using carbon-based ink. When that carbon gets wet and is rubbed against glass, it acts as a very, very mild abrasive.
Like a super fine polish.
Exactly. It's soft enough that it will never scratch the glass, but hard enough that it physically polishes the surface, cutting through stubborn residues.
That's amazing.
The major drawback, naturally, is that the carbon ink transfers to your hands, the window frames, and your clothes. It is effective chemistry, but highly impractical for a modern homeowner who can just buy a microfiber cloth.
Yeah, I'll stick to the microfiber. So we have our bucket with a single drop of dish soap. We have a good quality squeegee. We were waiting for an overcast day. Now we have to look at execution.
A battlefield.
Seriously. Because the guide draws a massive distinction between the inside of the window and the outside. They are entirely different ecosystems.
They require totally different strategies.
Let's start with the interior strategy. The technique here is highly controlled, and it starts with a really counterintuitive step. You completely ignore the glass at first.
You have to. You start by wiping down the window frame and the sill with a damp cloth. You are controlling the perimeter before you attack the target.
I love how tactical that sounds.
Well, interior sills collect a massive amount of dry dust, pet hair, and dead insects. If you start spraying your soapy solution onto the glass immediately, gravity pulls that liquid down into the sill.
And it mixes with the dry dust.
Right, and it creates a thick, muddy paste. Or, as you are working your squeegee down the pane, you accidentally bump the dirty frame, pick up a clump of grit on the rubber blade, and drag it right across the pristine glass you just cleaned.
Ugh, the worst. Okay, so once the frame is clean, you apply the dish soap solution across the entire pane, then you take your squeegee and draw it across in overlapping horizontal strokes, working from the top down.
And wiping the blade dry after every stroke.
Right. Wipe it dry. Why overlapping strokes, though?
Overlapping is critical.
Yeah.
You want the top quarter of your squeegee blade to travel over glass you've already dried on the previous stroke. This ensures you don't leave those vertical water lines between your passes.
And then finally, you take your dry microfiber cloth and just detail the edges of the frame where the rubber squeegee blade couldn't quite sit flush against the silicone caulking.
Exactly. It's very clean and controlled.
But what if we are dealing with French doors or a tiny bathroom window where a 10-inch squeegee physically will not fit inside the frame?
That requires the two-cloth method. You have one damp cloth to meticulously apply the soapy solution and agitate the dirt. You follow it immediately, like before evaporation can even begin, with your second bone-dry microfiber cloth, buffing the glass completely dry using tight circular motions.
That interior process feels very manageable, but stepping outside is stepping onto a completely different battlefield. The exterior glass requires a totally different approach because the soiling is infinitely heavier.
Oh, absolutely. We are talking about bird droppings, sticky tree pollen, rain residue.
And specifically for properties located near busy roads in the GTA, there's a microscopic, baked-on film of vehicle exhaust.
It's stubborn stuff. If you approach an exterior window the same way you approach an interior window, just walking up with a soapy sponge and starting to scrub, you are going to permanently ruin your windows.
This feels like a critical mechanical point. When I read this, it actually reminded me of trying to exfoliate your face, but with sandpaper.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is a visceral image, but highly accurate.
Right. If you do not hose off the loose debris first, you are taking calcified pollen, hardened bird droppings, and actual microscopic grit from diesel exhaust, and you are trapping it under your sponge.
And then you are grinding that abrasive grit directly into the glass with the full force of your arm. It is a violent way to treat an expensive architectural feature.
Seriously.
Glass feels perfectly smooth to the human hand, but under a microscope, it is actually porous and full of tiny peaks and valleys. When you grind exhaust grit into those valleys, you create micro abrasions.
Scratches.
Yes. Over time, those scratches catch the light and make the window look permanently hazy no matter how clean it is. Successful exterior window cleaning is entirely about limiting the amount of physical dirt that your sponge or your squeegee blade has to interact with.
So the guide insists you must rinse the exterior glass first with a garden hose, flood the pane with water to dislodge the heavy loose debris, and wash it down into the garden.
Get rid of the big stuff first.
Once the heavy stuff is gone, then you apply your dish soap solution, scrub gently with a soft brush to lift the remaining exhaust film, and finally, squeegee it dry.
You want your squeegee to remove a thin layer of soapy water. You do not want your squeegee to act as an excavator, pushing a wave of brown topsoil across the glass.
Okay, so let's say we've done all that. We've hosed it down, we've scrubbed it, we've squeegeed it flawlessly on a cloudy afternoon. We step back to admire our work, and there is still a hazy, white, spotted stain baked onto the glass. What went wrong?
You have just encountered a highly specific regional issue, and honestly, one of the most frustrating invisible enemies for homeowners in southern Ontario.
The guide explicitly calls out the hard water phenomenon. It notes it's particularly rampant in newer suburban developments in places like Brampton, Mississauga, and the surrounding GTA.
To understand why this happens, you have to look at the municipal infrastructure. Older parts of Toronto often draw their municipal water directly from Lake Ontario, which is surface water and relatively soft. However, as you move into sprawling newer municipalities, the water infrastructure historically relied on, or is heavily mixed with, deep groundwater aquifers.
And that water has been underground for a long time.
Exactly. It has spent decades percolating through the region's limestone bedrock. As it travels, it picks up a heavy load of dissolved minerals, specifically calcium and magnesium.
So when you are watering your lawn and the sprinkler system continuously hits your exterior front window,
the water hits the hot glass and evaporates. But calcium does not evaporate. It is a rock. It is left behind on your window.
Wow.
Over weeks and months, those microscopic mineral deposits build up and bake into the glass, creating a hazy, white scaled pattern.
And regular glass cleaner won't touch it. I mean, I can scrub that window with my dish soap solution until my shoulder gives out, and the spots will still be there.
Because you are trying to solve a chemistry problem with physical elbow grease. Regular glass cleaners, Windex, dish soap, these are formulated specifically to break down organic dirt, greases, and oils. They have zero chemical effect on calcium carbonate.
It's like trying to wash a driveway with hand sanitizer.
Exactly. You could soak a rock in dish soap for a year, and it would still be a rock.
We have to change the chemistry entirely.
You need an acid to dissolve a mineral. The guide recommends applying a dedicated hard water stain remover, like a CLR solution, which stands for calcium, lime, and rust, or mixing a diluted citric acid spray.
And you put that right on the glass.
You apply the acid directly to the dry window, and you let it sit. You have to give the chemical time to react with the calcium and dissolve the bond. Once the minerals are broken down, you must rinse the acid away completely with the hose.
And only then do you proceed with your normal dish soap and squeegee routine to remove the environmental dirt.
That's right.
This feels like a massive revelation for suburban homeowners. I mean, there must be thousands of people misdiagnosing hard water mineral spots as bad cleaning technique.
Oh, absolutely. They think they're failing at wiping the glass, driving themselves crazy, buying different microfiber cloths, when the reality is their local bedrock is literally attaching itself to their house.
It's geological.
It is. Understanding the chemical difference between organic dirt and inorganic calcium saves an immense amount of weekend frustration.
Okay, so we have solved the chemistry of the glass, but the window is a complete structural system. We cannot ignore the frame holding it all together, which brings us to the final frontier of window maintenance.
The window tracks.
The deeply neglected, incredibly gross aluminum channels at the bottom of the frame.
They are the worst.
The guide points out that you can have sparkling, perfect glass, but if the track is full of dead flies and black sludge, the entire window feels unhygienic.
The tracks are the lowest point of the system, meaning gravity dictates that every single piece of dirt, condensation, and debris eventually ends up there. The protocol for cleaning them requires patience.
Because the most common mistake people make is grabbing their spray bottle and immediately blasting the track with liquid cleaner.
Which instantly turns the dry dust and dead spiders into a thick, immovable mud that gets shoved deep into the corners of the track.
Just making a terrible paste.
Exactly. You must remove the dry bulk debris first. Take your vacuum cleaner with the narrow crevice attachment and aggressively vacuum the dry track channel. Extract the cobwebs, the pollen clumps, and the insects before introducing any moisture.
Good tip.
Once the track is vacuumed, you will still be left with a hardened layer of bonded grime. The guide recommends a very simple chemical reaction here. Apply a thick paste made of baking soda and water directly into the track.
Baking soda is highly alkaline, so it's going to eat through the organic grime.
It acts as both a chemical degreaser and a very mild physical abrasive. You let that paste sit in the tracks for 10 to 15 minutes to break down the hardened sludge.
Then what?
Then you take a stiff nylon brush, an old toothbrush works perfectly, and scrub the tracks to loosen the paste. Finally, you take a damp cloth and wipe the channel completely clean.
Amazing. And for the main vinyl or wood frame surrounding the glass, the guide suggests keeping it simple. A quick wipe down with a standard all-purpose cleaner and a microfiber cloth is sufficient to remove fingerprints and dust.
So looking at this entire system, the glass, the tracks, the exterior challenges, what does this mean for our actual weekend schedules?
The maintenance schedule laid out by the guide is actually quite manageable, assuming you don't let the grime compound over multiple years. For a standard home, interior windows require a thorough cleaning 2 to 4 times a year.
Which isn't too bad.
No. The exterior windows need attention at least twice a year. Ideally, you do them right now in the spring to strip away the winter exhaust and salt residue, and then you do them again in late fall before you lock the house down for the winter.
Though geography dictates frequency. If your home backs onto a major GTA highway, that exhaust film builds up significantly faster.
Oh, for sure. Or if you have large dogs that press their wet noses against the patio door every time a squirrel enters the yard, you will be spot cleaning those lower panes on a weekly basis.
It's a never-ending battle with pets.
It really is. Let's recap the ultimate science-backed checklist for everyone listening. First, respect the environment. Wait for a completely overcast day to avoid the flash evaporation sunlight trap.
Crucial step.
Second, ditch the heavily marketed fast-evaporating blue sprays and utilize the surfactant power of a single drop of dish soap in a bucket of warm water. Third, banish paper towels from your glass entirely to avoid shedding wood fibers. Invest in a high-quality squeegee and dedicate specific microfiber cloths exclusively for dry buffing.
Cannot stress the separate dry cloth enough.
Fourth, protect the glass from microabrasions by always hosing off the heavy exterior debris before you even think about touching the window with a sponge. And finally, recognize the profound chemical difference between organic exterior dirt and the localized hard water calcium spots baking onto your glass.
It really is a comprehensive shift in how we approach a very mundane chore.
Mm.
But as we wrap up this analysis, I want to leave you with a slightly broader, more philosophical thought regarding those forgotten window tracks we were just talking about.
Oh, wait on me.
We discussed how they act as gravity traps, collecting dead insects, airborne pollen, and environmental dust over the course of months. Think about the implications of that. That little aluminum channel is essentially acting as a passive, continuous environmental monitoring station for everything floating in the air around your property.
Oh, wow. I never thought about it like that.
Right. What could the exact composition of that trapped dirt, like the specific seasonal pollens, the localized insect species, the heavy metal particulate matter blowing off nearby roads, what could that tell an environmental scientist about the highly localized microclimate, the biodiversity, and the specific air quality immediately surrounding your front door?
That is a wild perspective. The gross sludge we are vacuuming and scrubbing away on a Saturday morning is actually a hyper-local environmental core sample of our own backyards.
It's a little ecosystem in your windowsill.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Hopefully, the next time you look at your windows and that afternoon sun finally hits the glass, you won't be staring at a murky, frustrating landscape of baked-on streaks and paper towel lint.
You'll just see straight through.
Exactly. Catch you next time.